Let's take our Bibles now. Let's go to 2 Kings chapter 4. I'm going to rest my fingers for a while, so we will not page turn tonight. That was on purpose, not my brother. But 2 Kings in chapter 4 is where we're going to be at tonight, and that's where we're going to stay the entire message. 2 Kings in chapter 4. Tonight's message is entitled, A Mother's Faithfulness Rewarded and Tested. A Mother's Faithfulness Rewarded and Tested. Today we celebrate Mother's Day. Personally, I believe one day isn't enough to celebrate what mothers do for their children and their husbands. My suggestion is a whole week worth of celebration. But that's just in my opinion. The current Mother's Day, and this is the history buff in me, I had to research it. The current Mother's Day was incorporated to the American calendar in 1914 as an official holiday for the United States, and then it was a government holiday nationally in 1920. Other countries celebrate Mother's Day in different months, like Thailand celebrates in August, and Ethiopia, it's a multi-day event of celebration according to history.com. Mothers are a treasure, and their value are highly respected by most people. Tonight, we will look at a faithful mother who consistently helped and aided the man of God. We'll see her reward for her faithfulness, and then finally see her faith tested. As we get into this evening, Mother's Day, again, happy Mother's Day to all the mothers that are present and those who are watching by way of Facebook Live. Mother's Day is a very special holiday for a lot of folks, and for mine, it's especially special. And I'm going to give a nice, and this is the only time I'm using my own mother tonight, so don't worry about anything else, but to signify Mother's Day, we could all tell Mother's Day stories. And this ties into the message here this evening. One day, this is our relationship with each other. This is why I feel so strongly about Mother's Day and why it should be more than one day. But one day, we were having a little tussle as a teenager. I was a 14-year-old. We were doing a little tug-of-war on her bed. And as we were tug-of-warring, I got smart, or so I thought. And I, instead of tugging back and continuing to tug-of-war, I instead decided to leap into her, which she wasn't expecting. And this is approved, so she is okay with the story. So as I leaped into her and surprised her, she then starts to chase after me. So I start to run, thinking, okay, I can get away from her. I'm faster, I'm younger, and I'm smarter. So I thought. So as I'm running into the living room, going from the bedroom, I'm realizing my mom is coming in closely. I gotta get away from her. So as I get into the living room, I figure, hey, if I can use a little game where you have something between you and eventually you try to get away from them, you've got this settled. So I decided to leap up onto a coffee table that's sitting about yay high off the ground and had four glass squares on this coffee table. So as I decided to leap up onto this table, my left foot stepped right through the first glass. Whoa. My right foot steps through the other glass. Whoa. And then I sat down and broke the last two pieces of glass. Needless to say, my mother's faithfulness in trying to get me and catch me for surprising her, I was caught for that. Then I had to clean up the mess afterwards. But it's the epitome of our relationship that we have for each other. But tonight, we're going to look at, again, a mother's faithfulness. And I believe I've been blessed faithfully to have my mother and those who've had your mothers here on earth and those who've moved on into heaven and to eternity. I'm surely glad that you have been grateful for the times and the stories that you could probably talk about with your mothers. But tonight, we're going to look at this mother in particular. And we're going to submit to you this evening that God blesses faithful servants, but will test them to see how they will react to adversity. Let's look at 2 Kings chapter 4 and verse number 8. The Bible says this, and it fell on a day that Elisha passed into Shunem, where was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread, and so it was that as often as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. And she said unto her husband, Behold now, I perceive that this is a holy man of God, which passeth by us continually. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall. and let us set for him there a bed and a table and a stool and a candlestick. And it shall be when he cometh to us that he shall turn in thither. Tonight I want to bring a message entitled, again, A Mother's Faithfulness Rewarded and Tested. Father, we come to your prayer. We come to you just thankful that we have mothers that we can talk about, that we can celebrate with, that we have memories with. And thank you for giving us all the mothers that are here this evening, and for those who may not be able to make it. And all the mothers throughout the world, we thank you for them. We thank you for the hard work and the sacrifice that they've done to raise their children, and some maybe with other circumstances that might be difficult and maybe not as appealing. But Father, we just thank you for their faithfulness, for their, again, their sacrifice and what they've done to raise and mold the children of today. And Father, I pray as we look into this message this evening that you would just help me just to speak just what you want me to speak, and that we would just be able to concentrate here on the Word of God this evening, that you would speak to us, and that you would encourage our hearts, but also to convict us and to test us, and to be able to help us to grow our relationship closer with you. And we ask these things here in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to look at two aspects here this evening of a mother. We're going to look at her faithfulness rewarded, and then we're going to look at her faithfulness being tested. Verses 8 through 17 give us the first idea of a mother's faithfulness, and it's rewarded. Let's look at verse number 8 again. As we get into verse number 8, the background here is that Shunem is a city located between Samaria and Carmel in the tribe of Issachar, according to Matthew Henry. Elisha has just performed a miracle for another person who was a widow with two sons by allowing her to have oil to gain an income and have income for her family. Now he's traveling, continuing his preaching ministry, but usually he would pass through Shunem to go through to the next city. And a certain lady there took place of this and decided to help him out. And we see that here coming up in verse 8. So it fell upon a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. So it was that as often as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. So the Shunammite lady here is providing food and providing housing for Elisha. She obviously, being a great woman, she had great wealth. She had money and income to be able to do this. And notice, first of all, that she wanted to do this. This wasn't a burden to her. This is something that she wanted to do. And how do we understand that? Well, verse 9. She said unto her husband, "Behold now." I love the word "behold" in the scriptures, because it's trying to give us something that's trying to get our attention and tell us, hey, something important is about to happen here. So the Bible says, "Behold now, I perceive that this is a holy man of God, which passeth by us continually." So she understands that Elisha is walking to and fro, coming past her hometown, says, hey, I think this is a man of God. So, no prompting, no God telling her anything. Verse 10, "Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed, and a table, and a stool, and a candlestick. And it shall be when he cometh to us that he shall turn in thither." So she proposes to her husband, hey, this guy is coming through, and let's do this. Let us make what we would call today a prophet's chamber, where if you have a traveling person, a traveling evangelist, missionary, pastor, whatever the case is, that you would take them in. They would have a house ready to go with the basic necessities and furnishment that they need. Hey, let's go ahead and let's get this set. So that way, when Elisha comes through, he doesn't have to worry about trying to find a place to go to, or trying to rent a hotel, or trying to do something else to rest himself and to nourish himself. Let him be welcomed here. And notice here that this woman is grateful, and she constantly is always there to help Elisha out. You could say that she was sacrificial in the way that she did this, because she didn't think of herself. She thought of the man of God. She thought of Elisha. So as this happens, verse number 11, And it fell on a day that he came thither, and he turned into the chamber and lay there. So it was put to use. Her idea was a success, and that made her thrilled. Verse 12. And he, Elisha, said to Gehazi, his servant, call the Shunammite. And when he had called her, she stood before him. So, setting here, Elisha is thrilled that this lady, we don't have a name here. We could name her. We might in a little bit. But she is constantly giving up herself, sacrificing, just like a mother would do, whether they have children or no children, to be able to help out someone else in need. And so as she continually does this, Elisha calls her in verse 13, and he said unto him, say now to her, behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. What is to be done for thee? So now Elisha wants to recognize this sacrificial giving that this lady is doing and tries to figure out, what can we do for you now? You've been giving to us, you've been giving to us, you've been giving to us. Now, how can we reward you? Now, keep in mind that she did not seek that in the beginning. She just thought, hey, let's just go and let's build a chamber. Let's get food. Let's get bread. I don't think in the back of her mind she realized that when Elisha's about to pronounce this announcement to her that she was going to get the blessing and more just because she just saw someone who she thought was a man of God. And remembering in her mind scriptures about caring for and helping out the man of God, and seeing the examples of the past, that she wanted to do her part. That's all she wanted to do. And so verse 13 continues on. Wouldest thou be spoken for to the king or to the captain of the host? So Elisha says, hey, should I make you well known and mentioned in front of the king? Let you be celebrated? Let's look at her answer. She's answered, I dwell among my own people. She wanted to stay quiet, wanted to stay under the radar, as you could say. And he said, verse 14, what then is to be done for her? So Elisha's thinking, communicating, what can be done? She's consistently giving and giving and giving. We've got to find a way to reward her for her faithful giving. Her sacrifice toward us. She didn't have to do this. We're strangers to her. Well, I think Gehazi has an answer here. Verse 14 continues, and Gehazi answered, verily, she hath no child, and her husband is old. So, no child. I know just watching, growing up and watching other mothers today, you can see the glow on their face when their child's in their arms. Such a beautiful feeling to watch. See the child grow from infancy, growing up to be a toddler, getting into everything, and then getting into schooling, preschool, and kindergarten, growing up to become a preteen and an adolescent when they demand a cell phone, and they continue all the way up to adulthood. And next thing you know, the grandchildren, Lord willing, come along when they are really make it the icing on the cake here. But she didn't have that opportunity yet. This lady had been living her whole life, had no child. But she was still caring and giving toward others. So Gehazi says, hey, she has no child. And her husband is not of age to be able to do that. So verse 15, he said, call her. And when he had called her, she stood in the door. And he said, about this time, about this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. Could you imagine being in those shoes? And you find out, hey, you're going to have a child this time. Knowing that your husband is not for ladies, your husband is an old, young enough in a sense. And now you're told, hey, you're going to have a child. Kind of remembers the story back to Abraham and Isaac. Not Abraham. What's wrong with Abraham and Sarah, whose son was named Isaac. And that whole scenario seems to kind of play out here in a sense. Where they're older, but God still performs a miracle for them because of their faithfulness. But notice their reaction to this. Verse 16 continues on. And she said, nay, my lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thy handmaid. She's like, don't take me for just some other person. You never know this is not going to happen. I can't have a child. But when you put things in God's hands and God's control, verse 17 occurs. And the woman conceived and bare a son that season that Elisha had said unto her, according to the time of life. She scoffs at this notion of having a child, but you know what? The promise got fulfilled. She had that child. Because of her faithfulness in serving the men of God, God rewarded her with a child. But now, secondly, we're going to see God test her faith in him after a tragedy. Verses 18 to 37 give us our second aspect of this idea of a mother's faithfulness. But now we're going to see it tested. First of all, we see it rewarded. Secondly, we're going to see a mother's faithfulness tested. Verse 18. And when the child was grown, it fell on the day that he went out to his father to the reapers. And he said unto his father, my head, my head. And he said unto the lad, carry him to his mother. So after a few years had passed, while working, the son develops what would be possibly a sunstroke. Verse 20. Probably one of the saddest verses in the Bible. And when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon and then died. Now, if you and I were writing that story, we would not put that in there. We would have said, this child made miraculous recovery. And this child is now living again, able to jump and read. But in this sense, the child dies in his mother's arms. Possibly from a sunstroke, according to Albert Barnes. This was very common in hot climates. So because of that, let's look at her reaction to this. Now she has her test. Now she has her trial. What is she going to do with that? Verse number 21. She went up, laid him on the bed of the man of God, and shut the door upon him, and went out. She decided she was going to go and do something. She didn't sit there. She didn't reflect in a sense. But what is she going to do? Verse 22. She called unto her husband and said, send me, I pray thee, one of the young men and one of the asses that I may run to the man of God and come again. So she has this conversation with her husband here. And he's trying to figure out what's going on. What happened? Verse 23. He said, wherefore wilt thou go to him today? It is neither new moon nor Sabbath. And she said, it shall be well. Now she gets she starts to cloud her answers in a sense, because is it really well with her on the inside? No, she just lost her child, but she is putting out the front there in front of others that everything's fine. Everything's going to be fine. 24, she saddled an ass and said to her servant, drive and go forward. Slack not thy writing for me, except I bid thee. So what she's saying to this servant is, hey, if I feel like I'm getting tired, don't stop for me. We're going to keep on going. Also, if I tell you to stop, if you think it's getting rough, I'm going to take that rough with you, because I want to make sure I can get to the man of God. She could be driven because of mourning or emotion, but she wanted to get to God. She wanted to get to God through the man of God, Elisha. And nothing was not going to stop her from getting there. Nothing. Not a bumpy ride, not a mountain, not a hurricane, not a tornado. She was going to get there no matter what. And she was going to strive to figure out this trial and this test. She was not going to give up. So 25, so she went and came on to the man of God, to Mount Carmel. And it came to pass, when the man of God saw her afar off, that he said to the Gehazi, his servant, behold, yonder is that Shunammite. Elisha remembered her. Remember that she, who, what she was and what she did for him, the miracle that was performed with her having a child. But you can also sense that Elisha knew the reason why possibly that she was coming. How do we know? Verse 26. Run now, I pray thee, to meet her, and say unto her, is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child? Well, maybe Elisha didn't know. She had never, I guess she had never had this experience where she came up to him. Normally it's him going to her house and they were talking there. There was never the opposite way at this point. So he was trying to figure out what was going on. She answered, verse 26 finishes off, it is well. Everything is fine. John Wesley says this, so it was in some respects that she was well, because it was the will of the wise and good God, and therefore best for her. When God calls away our dearest relations to earth, it becomes us to say, it is well both for us and for them. But she reacts in verse 27 here. And when she came to the man of God to the hill, she caught him by the feet. She was aggressively trying to get a hold of Elisha here. But Gehazi came near to thrust her away. Not the smartest thing Gehazi ever did. Trying to pull this mourning mother away. And he didn't understand it. So Elisha's there to help him out. And the man of God said, let her alone, for her soul is vexed within her. And the Lord hath hid it from me and hath not told me. About to find out what's going on here. Didn't know what had happened, but there's sorrow. Elisha's able to figure out that something has happened to this lady as she would come up to him and now grab him by the feet and try to figure out what just happened. Sometimes when we don't know what's going on, we don't know where to turn to. We don't know who to grab onto. And it gets to that point where the emotions can maybe just get out of control or whatever the case might be. Sometimes it's just hard for us to try to grasp what's going on in the here and now. Why did this event happen? Why did this take place? Why did this person have to go here? Why did this have to happen to me? Why couldn't it have been to somebody else? And we don't necessarily understand in that moment in time that this was God's plan. And she didn't understand that at first. How do we know that? Well, continue on. Verse number 28. And she said, did I desire a son of my Lord? Did I not say, do not deceive me? She did say that, don't deceive her. Verse 29. Then he said to Gehazi, gird up thy loins, take my staff in thy hand, and go thy way. If thou meet any man, salute him not. And if any salute thee, answer him not again. And lay my staff upon the face of the child. As we look back at verse 28, she wanted the son. And again, she asked to not be tricked, not be deceived. Sometimes we ask God that when suddenly tragedy strikes. Why did God do this to me? Why does that to be this? Why does that to be that? So he sends Gehazi, tells him, hey, don't greet anybody. Do your job. Do your mission. Go where I tell you. Do what you need to do. Don't salute anybody. Lay my staff upon the child. Maybe he's thinking that because of the double portion that God laid upon him with the spirit that the staff would heal the child. Not really necessarily maybe the idea he was looking for, but he was going to try to do something. Verse number 30. And the mother of the child said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. She desperately wanted to meet with God that day. She wanted to meet with God through Elisha. So he arose and followed her. Then Gehazi passed on before them and laid the staff upon the face of the child. But there was neither voice nor hearing. Wherefore he went again to meet him, and told him, saying, the child is not awake. Elisha, Gehazi probably thought that, hey, once I lay Elisha's staff on the kid, he's going to wake up and get him bounce around. It didn't happen. He thought that that staff was the most powerful thing in all. But it wasn't with the Lord's blessing yet. It wasn't with the Lord's timing. It wasn't what God wanted to do then. Sometimes we expect an instant fix to our problems. But sometimes it takes time. Sometimes God has to put us through adversity to give us the reward, the blessing, the triumph that he really wants us to get. But we do have to face times and tough adversities at first. 32. When Elisha was coming to the house, behold, the child was dead and laid upon his bed. And he went in, therefore, and shut the door upon them twain and prayed unto the Lord. Elisha probably should have done that first. But he knows how he brought the situation before the Lord. And he did it in the mother's presence. The mother, when this tragedy struck, she didn't necessarily go straight to God first. But she knew that she needed to find an answer. But Elisha, once he gets upon the situation, he went to God. And you can never go wrong, ladies and gentlemen, when you bring yourself to God. When you want God to figure out the troubles and the times that the trial you're going through, he will always help you. It's like an open telephone line. It's always ready to be picked up, but someone else has to initiate the call first. God wants to hear from all of us, but he can only hear from us if we make that first step. And Elisha now prays to God, gives this over to the Lord. Verse 34. He went up and lay upon the child and put his mouth upon his mouth and his eyes upon his eyes and his hands upon his hands, and he stretched himself upon the child, and the flesh of the child waxed warm. God gave him what he needed to do. And what else? Verse 35. And he returned and walked in the house to and fro, and went up, stretched himself upon him, and the child sneezed 7 times, and the child opened his eyes. God rewarded this lady's faithfulness with her child being risen. But, you know, she had to face adversity first. She had to face a trial to see if her faith would truly be trusted in God or in circumstance. That applies not only just to mothers, but to fathers, to men and women all around, that God sometimes will put us through a test and a trial before he gives us the reward for going through that. Verse 36, he called Gehazi and said, call the Shunammite. So he called her, and when she was come in unto him, he said, take up thy son. Probably the 4 sweetest words that mother had ever heard. Take up thy son. Because the last time she took up her son, she was dead in his lap, in her lap. But those 4 words, and she saw the son blinking and breathing and staring right in front of her. How does she react to this whole situation? Verse 37, finally here. And then she went in and fell at his feet and bowed herself to the ground. She worshiped. She thanked God for giving her son back to her. Maybe you've experienced a loss of somebody and you don't understand why. Maybe you've been separated from somebody for a long time and you don't understand the reason why. God knows why. But the key in all of this is to trust Him. We may not understand all that. There's a song that keeps popping in my mind as I say this. There are trials on every hand, even though we cannot understand all the ways that He would lead us to that blessed promised land. He will guide us in our light. And so on and so forth. And we'll understand it better by and by. That's the way the song continues on. But we'll understand it later on. But sometimes God doesn't choose to reveal it to us in the present here and now. But she bowed herself to the ground, took up her son, and went out. In conclusion, as for all of us, we see tonight that there are times when faithfulness to the Lord will yield in blessings that are unexpected at times. With this lady, she brought up and set up the prophet's chamber, and because of that, and because of her faithfulness to honor the man of God, she was blessed with a child. But then there are times where God will test our faith to see if we will give Him complete control. Not just 80%, not just 90%, not 99.9%, 100% of our lives to Him. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 tells us this: trust in the Lord with all thy heart. What's the key word there? All. Again, not 50, not 80, not 90, not 99.99999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999 100% is the minimum to trusting God, which is complete. A plus, excellent, above average. Verse says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. Our minds cannot understand what God has for us at times, but if we trust in Him, verse 6, in all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Who will direct us? God. Whose paths? Your paths. Helps us understand that God knows exactly what He is doing, whether we understand it or not. But God will give reasons for what He does in due time. God cares for all of His children, especially the mothers. But even while we are faithful to Him, sometimes we need to face adversity to grow our faith in Him even more. Commit yourself tonight to stay faithful to God in all circumstances of life. I'll finish with three questions, and then we'll close. First question is this: are you saved? Have you ever asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart and to be your Savior? Pastor mentioned how his mother was the first one to share with him the gospel. My mother was the one who directed me to Him to be able to hear the gospel, and I'm thankful for that. Have you ever asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart and to save your soul? It's not by doing all the good that you can. It's not by getting all the accolades that you can. It's by simply placing your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, asking Jesus Christ to come into your heart, to save your soul, to give you everlasting life. I give this illustration with children all the time, but it's just as easy for adults to understand it. If I promise a child that if they get to a certain age that I'm going to take them to Disney World, and I say, I promise, that child's going to make sure that I do good, and I promise. And when that child got to that age, took them to Disney World. God says, if you ask me to save you, you ask to trust with all thine heart, and you ask me to save you, when you do that, I'm going to take you to heaven. It's that simple. It's childlike faith. That's probably the hardest thing to ever do, is to come to the point where all you have to do is ask Jesus Christ to come to your heart, come inside your heart, and to save you, because it just seems so easy. Yet sometimes this is probably the most difficult choice that people make, because they don't want to let go of their habits or the different things that they want to hold on to, because they think that once you become a Christian, That's it. It's all downhill from there, actually, since ever since I asked Jesus Christ to be my Savior. It's the best choice that ever happened to me. I was 6 years old. But I'm so glad I did at a young age. Secondly, if you've asked Jesus Christ to be your Savior, are you facing it, and if you're facing adversity or trials tonight, are you giving it to God? Are you giving it complete control to God through the test that you might be facing? And thirdly, are you sharing the Word of God with others? There are other mothers out there who are doing just as much to raise children, but they have no hope. Fathers, other children out there who have no hope because they never asked Jesus Christ to come into their heart and be their Savior. Are you doing your part to share the gospel with other folks? Mother's Day, we celebrate it. Again, I think it should be a multi-day, full week event, but that's just my personal opinion. But mothers are cherished. Everyone's cherished. Mothers, fathers. But the important thing is that when you follow God faithfully, when you follow God with your whole heart, you trust Him with your whole heart, He will reward you when He feels the time is right. But when we're tested, just give it to God. Let go and let God, and He will help you all the way through. Father, we come to you in prayer. We thank you for being given to us. We thank you for the opportunity to be here this evening. Father, I pray that if there's someone in this room who has never asked Jesus Christ to come into their hearts, that they're not for certain, 100%, even 1,000% sure that if they were to die today, that they would be on their way to heaven. I pray, Father, that you would just encourage that person tonight, that they would open their heart, and that they would ask you to forgive them of their sins, to save their soul, and to give them everlasting life. It's not by works, it's not by tradition, it's not by any other means to get to heaven. It's only one way, one truth, one life. No man cannot come to the Father except by me. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Father, maybe there's someone in here today who has trusted you, but maybe they're going through a trial. Maybe they're going through some adversity in life right now. They just need someone to pray with them. I will be available. Pastor will be available as the invitation music is played. Don't hesitate. Come down to the front here. Come down to this old-fashioned altar. Come to one of us, and you need something, we can pray with you about it. We would be more than thrilled to help you along the way. Especially those who need to know that they're going to heaven, that they would come, and we would show them through the Bible how simple it is and how easy it is to ask Jesus to come into their heart, to be their Savior, to give them everlasting life. Father, I pray that you just bless and move in this invitation time. Touch hearts, convict hearts, encourage hearts this evening, that we would make the choices that we need to make based upon the message this evening or something else that you've spoken to us this evening. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right, let's stand together. We're singing hymn number 257.